Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, but we'll read up to verse 30. This is the reading of God's word. Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I will hear of you, that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. In no way alarmed by your opponents, which is a sign of destruction for them, but of salvation for you, and that too from God. For to you it has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, experiencing the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for it teaches us, it shows us, it witnesses to us Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and what he has done and what he has accomplished for us. Once again, as we hear your word, let us see what Jesus has done and what he has accomplished, that who we are in him now and forever, our heavenly reality. And Father, grant an ear to hear your word and cause us so that we may grow to the fullness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let our faith grow. Let us be more and more like your Son. Let us imitate him in all things. And let us live for his glory. Bless us and receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We just finished up to verse 26 last time. From verse 12 all the way to verse 26, Paul was reporting to the Philippians about the situation that he was in. And he described his situation as two things. He witnesses Christ and he lives the very life of Christ. And it is interesting, even if Paul was not in the prison, if Paul was anywhere else, his reporting will be the same. No matter where he is, no matter what, his life is all about witnessing Christ and living the very life of Christ. And now from verse 27, Paul speaks about the life that the Philippians must live. Thus, you and I, we are learning from what Paul says and ultimately what God says. We're learning about the life that we as Christians must live. And to state the conclusion first, the life that we must live is the same life that the Apostle Paul lives, and it is the same life that our Lord Jesus Christ lived, which is described in chapter 2, verse 5 through 11. So the life of Apostle Paul, the life of Philippians, our lives, and the life of Jesus Christ are the same. Ultimately, the purpose is the same. The meaning is the same. And the sufferings of the Apostle Paul And the sufferings of the Philippians and our sufferings are the same suffering. It is to participate in the sufferings of Christ. You really need to understand what your life is all about. Otherwise, you're just wasting your life. It's Christ. Otherwise, no matter how the world recognizes your life as valuable or whatnot, it's nothing apart from Christ. And we will clearly see that when Jesus returns. Philippians chapter 1, verse 29 through 30, it says, "For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for Him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had and now hear that I still have." This is Paul's understanding. The sufferings that Philippians go through is the same suffering that he is going through, that he has been going through. Obviously, if you compare sufferings of Christ and sufferings of Philippians, there are different sufferings. And yet, Paul's understanding is not that. It's not different. Because he understands all things in Christ. Our lives, then, are patterned after the very life of Jesus Christ. This is God's design. Jesus is the center. And we live his life. Romans chapter 8, verse 17 through 18. "Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory." That we share in his suffering in order that we may share in his glory. And Paul says, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worthy comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us." So the pattern of Jesus' life is suffering here on earth and glory in heaven. I mean, that's simplified, but that's the pattern of Jesus' life. Suffering here, glory in heaven. Then, if our lives are patterned after his life, what do you think your life will look like? That he pour out his grace so that not only we believe in Christ, but that we also suffer for him. There is a purpose in our lives. There is a purpose in our sufferings. And according to what Paul has been said up to this point, that purpose, it is for the advance of the gospel and to participate in the life of Christ, to be more and more like Christ. And we must live this life. This is not an optional for Christians. Because ultimately, God's will for his people will be done. Unless you are not his people. So, Paul says, live this life. And we begin verse 27. It says, "Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Now, there are so much in here that this is how far we're going to go today. Verse 27a. And we will look at the rest of chapter 1 next time. Whatever happens, meaning whether I would be released from prison or die in prison, no matter what happens, live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. See, whatever happens, the very life that we must live does not change according to whatever happens in this world. If something happens this way, then you live differently. And no, that is not how God says. Whatever happens, there is life that you must live. It is a life that witnesses Christ and lives the very life of Christ. Now then, what is the life that is worthy of the gospel of Christ? He says to live a life that is worthy of the gospel, we need to know what that life looks like. I mean, of course, a very simple answer is Jesus' life. But Paul here explains this life from chapter 1, verse 27, all the way to chapter 2, verse 18. And that is our next section, the long, big section, all the way to chapter 2, verse 18. But Paul has already shown to us this life through his own life, that he lived, that he already shared with us. But the very same life Paul tells Philippians to live, and in the midst of telling them to live this very life, he shows Jesus' life in chapter 2, verse 5 through 11. What was Paul's life? It was a life that is for the advancement of the gospel of Christ. Verse 18. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached, and because of this I rejoice, yes, and I will continue to rejoice. So his life was all about the advancement of the gospel. And more and more, the participation in the life of Christ. Verse 20, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage, so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. Now Paul tells the Philippians, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. A life that is worthy of the gospel. Paul says very similar things in many other places. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, as a prisoner of the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. A life worthy of the calling you have received. Two verses are saying the same thing. And what is this calling? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14. He called you to this through our gospel, that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is God's call to share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, therefore, holy brothers, who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus. Here is a heavenly calling. Philippians chapter 3 verse 14, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. God's heavenward calling in Jesus Christ. So we are called to live a life that is worthy of this heavenly calling, this heavenward call. All this is the same thing as in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12, urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into His kingdom and glory. Here again, God calls us into His kingdom and His glory. All are called to live our lives worthy of our God. That's the conclusion. Whatever worthy of all these things that the Bible says is concludes here. That you live your life in a manner that is worthy of God. That God is judged by you. They look at you and me and they judge our God. That's why we must live our lives in a manner that is worthy of God, worthy of the gospel. So how do you think you are reflecting your God to other people as you live your life here? So many people curse God because of Christians, because of what Christians do. Actually, Christians are the ones who bring bad name to God. And here, live our lives worthy of our God. Philippians 1:27 is saying the same thing. A life that is worthy of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, so many Christians misunderstand. When they hear this, I should live a life that is worthy of the gospel. Again, they understand this in terms of this world. How do you show the worthiness in this world? By becoming rich and successful. Otherwise, you are not worthy in this world. Is that what God is saying? We should live a life that is worthy of the gospel so you become so successful and so rich and so powerful. Now finally you're showing the worthiness of the gospel. Is that what God is saying? The ways of heaven and the ways of the world are the opposite, always. You know, if you show the worthiness of gospel by how successful you are in this world, then you will always lose. Because there will be a non-Christian who is always more successful than you. Then what worthiness are you showing? Think about that. If that's how we are to show the worthiness of our gospel, then non-Christian will always win. Because the most successful person in this universe is always non-Christian. What worthiness does he show? whatever that might be, is better than the worthiness that you're trying to show of the gospel, isn't it? Foolishness. Then let's understand what is he saying here. Conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. The Greek word that has been translated as a conduct, the same word is translated in chapter 3 of Philippians, verse 20. You go there, because that is a very important verse. Can't wait until I get to that verse. Chapter 3, verse 20, it says, "For our citizenship is in heaven." You know the word that is translated as a conduct in our verse is the same word that is translated in 3:20 as citizenship. It's the same word. If you look at Greek, even though in English it sounds like completely different words, but it's the same word. This word means city, polis. The word politic comes from this word. Thus, our verse actually says this: live as a citizen. Live like a citizen worthy of the gospel of Christ. That's what actually says. Put all this thing together, our verse, that verse 27a, can be translated as this: as a citizen, live a life that is worthy of the gospel of Christ. Or witness your citizenship by living a life that is worthy of the gospel of Christ. You get the point there. Thus, the life that is worthy of the gospel of Christ is the life that belongs to heaven. It's the heavenly life. The life of citizens of heaven is the life that is worthy of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're not making anything up here. That is exactly what it says. It is heavenly life, life that belongs to heaven. How are you going to live in heaven? How? You will, for example, you will love God perfectly in heaven. You will love one another perfectly in heaven. You will never lie. You will never cheat. You will never do anything like that. You will not even sin. That's your heavenly life. We could go on and on. You will praise God always. You will worship Him. That's your heavenly life. There will be perfect fellowship with God and fellowship with one another. That life you already have. That life has already begun. That life God calling you to live here on earth as much as possible. You are to live that life. Obviously, we cannot perfectly live that life now, but we must do our best to live as close to that perfect life as possible. Because our faith is that is our life even now. That we already possess that life in Christ. That our life that belonging to this world is dead. And we have been resurrected to a new life, life of heaven. Thus, God says, live as who you are. He's not telling us, do your best so that you could achieve this. No. Jesus has already achieved it for you. You must believe, thus by faith, you witness what you say you believe. You know, our God is never unreasonable. If you just say, I don't believe, then He doesn't say anything to you. He will not command you to do anything because you can't if you are not a believer. But since you say you believe, okay, what do you believe? Whatever you say you believe, well then do, because you believe. That's what the Bible is all about. It's never unreasonable. It will never ask you to do anything that you cannot do. Or that you, with your own mouth, confess that it is true of you. If you belong to heaven, if your citizenship is in heaven, if you are resurrected to a new life, well then show. Live that life. That is what the Bible is saying. That's why it has to come from faith. Because if you don't believe, then it's all fake. But I believe. So I do, but never perfect. So I repent. But I still believe. And I go again. But I fail again. So I repent. But I still believe. It's by faith. So we are called to live as the citizens of the kingdom of God, the citizens of heaven. We serve the King of heaven. We obey the laws of heaven. And we live according to the reality of heaven. And why do we live this way? Because we are the citizens of heaven in Jesus Christ. Because we are exactly that kind of people. Nowhere in the Bible that says, you Christians, one day you will be the citizens of heaven. No. It says you are the citizens of heaven now. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 6, and God raised us up with Christ and seated, past tense, seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 19. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. You are members of God's family. Colossians chapter 1 verse 13. For He has rescued us from the domain of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves. You really need to understand and believe this. You are not of this world. Even though you live here, you don't belong here. And there is another world that is not seen, and you are citizens of that heavenly world, even though we cannot see it, but you belong there. That's why you're like an ambassador. You know, ambassador from Vietnam or Korea. And if I say Vietnam and Korea, I cover everyone. Oh, from China. Now I cover everybody. Ambassador. Who is this person? Well, if you're ambassador from Korea, you're representing Korea, but you are living in a foreign country. You live in the United States, but you are representing Korea. But God says all of us, we are ambassadors of heaven. Yes, we live in this foreign land here on earth, but we represent the country of God. You must know who you are, what you're doing, so you show as much of heaven as possible as you live in this strange land here on earth. That's why the custom of this world is foreign to us. Strange ways these people live. And you say things like, back home, this is not how we do things. Back home, this is not how we live. Back home, we don't say this kind of stuff. We don't do this kind of stuff. Strange people. Sinful people. We are ambassadors of God's country. We are no longer the citizens of this world. We do not belong to this world. John chapter 15 verse 19b, as it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. This is why the world hates you. And we are born again people. Literally, born again means born from above. We are born from above people. Where are you from? You say heaven. And you're not lying. Oh yeah, people would think you're crazy, but where are you from? Heaven. Yeah, and as you live like Christian, they will say, yeah, that makes sense, because I thought you just fall down from somewhere, you know, you don't fit here, you're not like the rest of us. Yes, you're right. We don't fit here. And the way these people live their lives is strange to us. It's so uncomfortable living here. Because they try to force me to live a certain way, live like how they live, and we don't fit. That's why God says, live a life that is worthy of the gospel of Christ. Live the life that belongs to heaven. Live like a born from above people. We are the new creation. You know, this world is not our home. We are just passing through. And as we're passing through, we see some strange things, but you just scratch your head and just move on. Let's go home. Do not dwell in the things that this world does. Just keep moving. We have a home to go to. And on the way, we might have to study, we might have to get a job, we might have to get married, we might have to, you know, all these things we might have to do, but we'll keep moving. Because our purpose is not to dwell in this world forever. Here on earth, we do not have any lasting city. We're looking for that is to come. Did you know that you are a travelers? Travelers don't have much to carry because it's just all hindrance. So we live simple life. And Christian must live that simple life. Always get ready to go. We're just traveling through. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, dear friends, Apostle Peter calls Christians, dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world. He calls us as aliens and strangers of the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Do you know, did you know that we are aliens and travelers heading to our eternal home? Thus, our life here on earth is not that comfortable life. It's a life of suffering. Because this is not our home. You must understand. It's like you went to a camping, but instead of 3 days, you stay in camping site, you stay 90 years. But after 3 days, you go home. And in that 3 days, you don't really care what kind of tent you have or what kind of sleeping bag you have. You know it doesn't matter because after 3 days, you're going to go home. We really don't care what kind of house we live in or what kind of car we drive or what kind of clothing we wear. We'll go home soon. Just whatever. Simple and adequate. That's all we need. John chapter 18, verse 36, Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews, but now my kingdom is from another place. What is Jesus saying? As he was being captured and, you know, killed on that cross, he says, my kingdom is not of this world. If this world is my kingdom, then no one will arrest me and kill me. I mean, if this world is my kingdom, I am the king of my kingdom, who's gonna capture me and kill me? But my kingdom is not of this world. That is why all these things are happening. Just like it, you say the same thing. This world is not my kingdom. Thus, you will be persecuted because of your faith. You will suffer. We must live as the citizen of heaven. This is our spiritual reality. We must witness our heavenly reality because it is our present reality in Jesus Christ. But brothers and sisters, let us be honest. You and I, we are weak. And we are not able to witness this reality as well as we ought to. So many times it's not even like, you know, not as much as we ought to. Sometimes you just show complete opposite. Let's face it, brothers and sisters in Christ, we live a life of contradictions, a life of hypocrisy. And this gives us so much shame and grief and anguish. I mean, if we're very honest, we have to admit, we are hypocrites. There's so much contradiction in us. We say one thing and we do other. We say we believe certain things, but the way that you live doesn't show that whether you truly believe that or not. But we do believe at the end, maybe so little, even smaller than the mustard seed, but we do believe. And only our hope of heaven will make us endure this life with joy. You already see what is already true of you in heaven in Christ, so that whenever you see the contradictions in you, whenever you see the hypocrisy in you, you look at what Jesus has already accomplished for you, who you are in Christ. That's the only thing that would let you go to sleep with peaceful mind. What if you never know whether you will be perfect or not? That this contradiction will just go on forever, and this hypocrisy will just go on forever. What if you will never know whether you will make it or not? How do you sleep? How do you endure? That's why so many people, they just don't think anymore. But we see already the already that Jesus Christ has already accomplished. We must see ourselves who we are in Christ, who are the citizens of heaven already in Christ Jesus. And we must witness by that faith the reality of that heaven as much as possible. This is what our life is all about. Whatever that Christ has accomplished, you show as much as possible. That is what your life is all about. Thus, by doing that, you witness what Jesus has done, what Jesus has accomplished, who Jesus is. That is what your life is all about. And only faith will enable us to do this. We must live the life that belongs to heaven. Romans 13, 14, rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Ephesians 4, 24, and put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Colossians 3:10, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. If you put all those three verses together, isn't it interesting? One verse says, you have already put on. The other verse says, put on. Both are true. You are already citizens of heaven, but live a life that is worthy of the gospel. Command is given because it is already. Do you understand? Jesus has already accomplished it. Thus, according to what he accomplishes, command is given. That's why whatever command that God gives, in order for you to obey, you must have faith. You must First, believe that it is already accomplished. Otherwise, how are you going to obey this? We live by faith. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Our faith is reality of what we hope for, which is heaven, and witness of what we do not see, which is heaven. Thus, faith is witnessing the reality of heaven. The heavenly reality that our Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished for us already dominates our lives here in this world. Whatever you believe, it is true of you in heaven, that's how you live. Because that's what you believe. Thus, whatever that you do here is by faith. It comes from your faith. Otherwise, even if you live so-called moral life, it's a hypocrisy. If it is not by faith, it's sin. So all those non-Christians who try so hard to live that moral life, it's sin. Because I don't care how hard they try to live that clean life, so-called clean, it's not from faith. All things apart from faith is sin. That is why I don't want any of you to waste your energy, you know, trying to live this life. It has to come from faith. Thus, the life that is not worthy of the gospel of Christ is the life that is focused on this world. Philippians chapter 3, verse 19, speaking of the enemy of the cross, their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame, their mind is on earthly things. Live your citizenship, witness your citizenship by living that life that is worthy of the gospel. What will be the opposite life? Well, living as a citizen of this world, whose mind is on earthly things. 1 John chapter 4, verse 5, they are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. Did you hear that? They are from the world, therefore they speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. You see that all the time. They're from the world, they say worldly things, and the world follows them. John chapter 3, verse 31b, the one who is from the earth belongs to the earth and speaks as one from the earth. The one who comes from heaven is above all. Matthew chapter 4, verse 8 through 9, again the devil took Jesus to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give it to you. He said, if you will bow down and worship me, Satan says to Jesus. The Satan tempts Jesus, and Satan tells Jesus that he will give Jesus all the kingdoms of the world. Brothers and sisters, it is the Satan who says he will give the world. Our God never said to you that he will give this world. He will give you the other world, heaven. It is Satan who tempts you with this world. You really need to understand this. And so many churches are used by Satan, tempting so-called Christians. I will give you the world. I will give you the world. Now, if that happens in the church, this is really serious. We must reject Satan, and we must reject his offer. We must live a life that is worthy of the gospel of Christ. And now Paul speaks of that life that is worthy of the gospel in more detail, all the way to chapter 2, verse 18. And we'll, little by little, we'll get to that point. But brothers and sisters, don't be afraid to suffer in this world, that you might have to lose things of the world because of your faith, that you might have to suffer and be persecuted and be marginalized because of your faith. God will tell you next week that when that happens, it is God's grace. It's His blessing. Because I'll read this and verse 28. In no way alarmed by your opponents, which is a sign of destruction for them, but of salvation for you. When somebody persecutes you because of your faith, that persecution is a sign of their destruction. But that same persecution that you receive is a sign of your salvation. It just proves that you are a true Christian. And God will bless His people. And I hope this sentence doesn't sound strange to you, because it is the gospel. God will bless you with sufferings. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Let us clearly understand the gospel. Oh Father, this world is temporary. So what if we live in comfort and with wealth for 90 years, then eternal destruction? That's foolishness. But Father, just like Jesus Christ, let us learn to obey you in our sufferings. And that you bless your people with suffering so that we may share the sufferings of Christ. That it is truly our honor to share the sufferings of Christ. But Father, you have told us that we will not be tempted beyond what we could bear. That even these sufferings are coming our ways according to the measure of our faith that you give us. Oh Father, let us always trust you, always depend on you, always knowing that you will be done, who will be like your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you. Let us live a life that is worthy of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Bless us, God. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.